Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, 1 Samuel chapter 6. First Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place." And they said, "If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then said they, "What shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land. And ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go, and they departed? Now, therefore, make a new cart, and take 2 milk kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which ye return for a trespass offering, in a coffer by the side thereof. And send it away, that it may go. And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us." And the men did so, and took 2 milk kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of their emerods. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Bethshemite, and stood there. And there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrificed sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the 5 lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. And these are the golden emerods which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord: for Ashdod 1, for Gaza 1, for Ashkelon 1, for Gath 1, for Ekron 1. And the golden mice, according to the number of the cities of the Philistines belonging to the 5 lords, both fenced cities and of country villages, even unto the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. And he smote the men of Bethshemesh, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote the people 50,710 men, and the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God, and to whom shall he go up from us?" And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have some interesting things here. Maybe some of them are a little bit obscure, a little dark. Maybe they need a little bit bringing out. So let's go ahead and talk through the chapter. I have the first section is verses 1 through 9. So the Lord's anger continued to burn against the Philistines, so that they were moved to avert the cause of his anger. It took them 7 months of suffering to overcome their gloating. 7 months they had the ark of God among them with all of the difficulties that accompanied it. Now we hear about the third difficulty in this chapter. They were struck with tumors in their secret parts. They were struck with just plain death. Many people just simply keeled over dead. They, quote, died suddenly, end quote. And then third, many of them also were sore afflicted by mice that got everywhere, apparently. We're not told exactly to the extent of it, but that they were as grievous as the death and the emrods. So, there you go. 7 months. Make a comment on that pastorally. That's a long time. It's a long time to remain under sore chastisements from the Lord. Beloved, let us have a mind to give up early to the Lord rather than to remain under his chastisements month upon month. Note also that the ordinances of God are a judgment in the hands of his professed enemies. This is an interesting thing to think about. The ark of the Lord did the Philistines no good. In fact, it did them harm. The ark of the Lord was something wonderful in its place. But when it was among the Philistines and they treated it as they did, so the local presence of a secondary god, it did them no good at all. It only did them harm. So what do we learn? We learn that the outward artifacts of religion are simply not enough to do us good. We must have those hearts that rise up to meet those outward artifacts, those outward elements, right? Hearts purified by faith. This is important. We do not take up the worship of God simply because, children, your parents believe. Sure, you may come along. We may have unbelievers in our midst, no doubt. There's no problem with that. That's not a problem in Presbyterian polity. We understand that. We understand that's the way the Lord has ordered the church. But we do also want to say that these things are given to you, people of God, those of you who are in that outward covenant with God, that it might have its due fruit in your hearts. It's not just an outward thing we're after. The Philistines had all the outwards. In fact, at that time, they had more than the Israelites did because they had the ark. Yet it did them no good, only harm. And so we might say it this way, to turn that card over and read the other side of it. Rebellious attendance, even upon outward ordinances, might certainly be visited by God with judgments, right? But the other side of that card is the blessing that it is to attend upon the Lord in his ordinance, and they have their saving fruit, their edifying fruit, their sanctifying fruit among us. And that's what we want. That's what we pray for. Okay, and notice also then that they were well acquainted with the history of Moses and how the Lord delivered his people from the hand of the Egyptians, and that he had also hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Lord's fame was perhaps more well-known among the heathen in those days than some of Israel's own people. That's a sad thing to have to say, isn't it? But they were well acquainted Why are you fighting with the God of Israel? Not even Egypt could win that fight. Why would we think to win that fight? Is the gist of their sentence one to another. All right, so now we note the instructions. The seers of the Philistines tell them to build a new cart, brand new wood. Yeah, you want the curse to go away. You're going to do everything you can, right? Oh, just go get any old stick and make a cart. No, they're not going to do that. It's going to be a brand new cart that's never been pulled before. And they're going to be two milk kine that have never been harnessed before. What's a milk kine, children? It's a cow that is currently nursing a calf. Now, a cow that is currently nursing a calf, what does it want to do with that calf? It wants to be close to it. It wants to keep it near. It wants to be available to the calf when it's time to feed. And so notice what they did. They took these two milk cows away from their calves, locked the calves up somewhere else, and put them, lashed them to this cart so that they might pull it along. Where do you think in all normal circumstances those cows would go? Right back to wherever their calves were. They'd smell their calves, they'd hear their calves, they'd go back to their calves. Don't even have to think about it. But that's not what happened. The Philistines said, if they go along toward their home, toward the home of the ark, that is, well, then we'll know that it was the Lord that did this to us, and it wasn't just a chance that happened to us. I think there's a measure of unbelief in that statement. They still have not come to the realization that it was the Lord that was chastising them for their taking of the ark and using it as a trophy. But what do the milk cows do? They get on the road going north to Beth Shemesh, or going west to Beth Shemesh, and they just keep going. But it says that they were lowing as they went. What does it mean, children, that they were lowing? In other words, they're missing their calves. Or they're calling their calves after them. This lowing has to do with them being separated from their calves, yet it does not stop them from bringing the Ark of the Covenant home. And this is that sign that the Philistines were looking for. That even though they longed for their calves, they went straight into the land of Israel, straight west and north into the land of Israel, to the town of Beth Shemesh. The last thing in this first section is, what were they required to do? The lords of the Philistines and their seers, they said, don't return the ark empty. Now, that didn't mean put something in the ark. Just don't return it by itself. So they had a little chest, a little coffer next to it. And they were commanded by the lords of the Philistines and their seers to make a model of their emerods. Well, think of this, right? The mighty Philistine army, right? Because who do we have in the Philistine army to this day? Who is still there today? Goliath and his brothers. What are they known as? They're known as big, strong, burly, undefeatable soldiers. And so now what does the Philistine army have to do? Show the world that they were struck in their most private parts by the Lord in humiliation for taking his ark and treating it like a trophy. You see how the Lord is bringing them low. He also brings them low by plaguing them with mice, a little furry creature about that long, against men like Goliath, and gaining the upper hand, such that they said, let's give the ark back. Beloved, if the Lord had not done that, the Ark of God would have remained in Philistia. They would never have returned it. It would have been that perpetual trophy to their pride and idolatry. So the Lord brings them low with these offerings that they must offer as they return the Ark. All right, so that takes us all the way through then to the final portion of the chapter, beginning, I guess it's in verse 10 or 11. and the ark arrives straight back where it belonged in Beth Shemesh. And now in Beth Shemesh, it comes to the field of one Joshua, a Beth Shemite. And notice that when they get there, they stop. They stop walking. They stop blowing. They just stop. They've done their job. They're ready now to be offered unto the Lord. These two milk kine now are offered unto the Lord for a burnt offering. The wagon wood is used. The cart wood is used for that burnt offering. And then over and above that offering, the men of Beth Shemesh, in celebrating the return of the ark, bring offering upon offerings upon this rock of Abel that is in the field of Joshua. You can look up on the internet today. There's a rock there that many people think is the rock of Abel in the field of Joshua, the Beth Shemite. And you can see a picture of it today if you want to. I don't know if it's the right rock or not, but some people think it is. So there's great celebration, but there's more than celebration. There's also what we call prurient curiosity. The word prurient simply means childish and mischievous curiosity. Looking into things that are none of your business. Oh, what is that? What is that? The ark is here. I'll never get to see it again. Let me look inside. And everyone that looked inside the ark died. Is that what it says? He smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote the people 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. Yes, they died. And they died because they desired to peek into the secret things of God that belonged to him and no one else. And so the men of Beth Shemesh then sound a little bit like Philistines at the end of this, and I think that's what we're supposed to hear. And they say, who can take up the ark of God from us? Where's it going to go? And the men of Kirjath Jearim will come and fetch up the ark, and they do. And we'll find out a little bit later that it ends up in a certain house and that man's house is blessed. And so that's how the chapter ends. Well, there are a lot of great lessons there to be learned. Let's stand and continue praising God.